look, New York City gave Amazon a real opportunity here. And all we asked was that they be a good neighbor and be part of the community. And clearly, they weren't ready to do that. And it's very disappointing. There was no dialogue. There was no effort to work together. I don't understand it. I really don't. Yeah, we are a tough city, but they should have known that coming in. And, you know, other people will take their place.
I'm slightly more optimistic, but I still believe that there are many hurdles to be cleared before the U.S. and China can declare victory on these trade talks. And I do fear that the market expectations have gone a little beyond what probably will materialize here in the next few weeks.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's February 15th. It's 5:09 in the morning. And thank you for being here with us on another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day getting underway. We've put together a really good broadcast for you today on our Friday edition. As always, Paul Nolte will be here. We'll bring in Paul momentarily for a discussion about the economy and our portfolios. A little bit later in the program, Southwest Airlines, you may have heard, has done a test flight to Hawaii for their planned service that they're getting ready to launch, and it has caused a price war in tickets to Hawaii. Brian Summers will be along from skiff.com at about 5:40 this morning to talk more about that with us. Stay tuned. We'll also keep you up to date on the latest news, weather, and sports as we move through the hour. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, the opening bell will ring for one last time this morning after stocks closed out yesterday, mixed on word that President Trump will be signing a spending bill to keep the government open. The deadline today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average and S&P 500 both lost ground after the Commerce Department reported retail sales fell more than 1.2% in December, the worst showing since 2009. This morning, markets are in the green, but just barely. Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P futures each up just about a fraction. In Europe, markets are also in the green. The FTSE is up nearly a third. The DAX pushing close to a half a percent higher. And in France, the market's almost up by a percent. In Asia, markets are down. The Nikkei is going to finish the day down 239 points, off nearly a percent. The Hang Seng off nearly 2%, with the number about 531 lower. The Shanghai is lower by about a percent and a third. And oil at $54.68 a barrel, which is up about 27 cents. So that's your morning intel from the markets. A couple of headlines this morning. President Trump's economic advisor says no decision has been made on extending a U.S. deadline for a trade deal with China. But White House advisor Larry Kudlow telling the reporters the vibe remains good as those high-level talks wrap up in China. Stiffer new U.S. tariffs are set to take effect in March if the two sides can't strike a deal. There was a report from Bloomberg that as the talks wrap up, there are no real signs of progress. We'll wait to see what filters out of those meetings as we move forward this morning. You also heard there in the opening montage the mayor of New York City talking about Amazon canceling plans for HQ2 in New York City. In a statement yesterday, the governor said that those lawmakers who were opposed to this put their own political interest ahead of the people they serve. Opponents had been vocal in criticism of the reported tax breaks the state would have given Amazon to set up shop. The facility was projected to bring in at least 25,000 jobs to the region until word of its scrapping came out yesterday. The company said it was not going to look for another location. Let's bring in Paul Nolte this morning from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul is an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager at Kingsview and is with us every Friday morning. Paul, happy Friday. Good morning.
Yeah. Happy Friday. Halfway through the month.
you're right, exactly. Halfway through. The Amazon decision out of New York was kind of a surprise, wasn't it?
It was a surprise. And I think, you know, and I don't know if this is the beginning of something new. You know, we've had Foxconn in Wisconsin. We've had a lot of these types of deals where corporations come in and say, listen, here's what we're going to do. We'd really want to have all kinds of tax breaks in order to make this all happen. And a lot of cities and states roll over and say, yep, okay, no problem, we can do that. And in the end, they find that the revenues don't quite match up with what they originally intended, or things change, which is normal. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this progresses over the next few months here and what Amazon ultimately decides to do. And then certainly some of the ramifications with the voters in New York City as well as New York State.
You know, this isn't the only Amazon news over the last 24 hours. Another story that's blowing up my social media timeline is the report that Amazon is going to pay $0 in federal income taxes on $11.2 billion in profit last year. How does a company pay zero in federal income tax?
GE has done it for a while, and it's the way the tax laws are written, the write-offs that you're allowed for research and development, for building, for spending on infrastructure within the company that you can expense immediately. That's why they have a lot of accountants working for them within the law. That allows companies to do that. So, you know, as the company expands, builds a new warehouse facility, they may be able to expense all of that costs over that year. So it goes right up against the revenue numbers. So we've seen that from some of the major corporations. When you look at their effective tax rate, mm-hmm. It's less than 10% in many cases. But that's the way the laws are written, and companies take full advantage of how those laws are written.
For people who are see that and they're angry, asking why is Amazon paying its fair share, what would be the response be to that?
You know, that's a hard call because, again, they are providing an awful lot of jobs. They're providing a needed service. I mean, you look at Amazon as far as a total percentage of retail sales in the United States, and it's a huge number. Yeah. So they're providing a service that people are very willing to use and happy to use as well. And they do employ an awful lot of people as well. So there are some benefits to the local governments where their warehouses are at, as well as around the country, and certainly to the general population that uses their services. If that were something that were an issue for people, then they have opportunities to make changes to that, either by not using their service or certainly talking to their congresspeople about changing tax law.
You mentioned retail sales in there. We saw that number come out yesterday, one of the more troubling numbers for retail sales since 2009. What do you make of the numbers we saw yesterday?
That's an interesting one because, you know, almost as soon as the number came out, we saw a little bit of a reaction in the markets and then nothing. And I think when you take a look at inside the numbers, there may have been some issues with the government shutdown, with the very cold weather that we experienced during that period of time. And it does not really line up with a lot of other surveys and a lot of other economic pieces of data that normally line up very well with retail sales. So if you look at Johnson's Red Book, you look at the labor market, all of those tend to move very, very closely with retail sales. So this number was certainly an outlier, and a lot of people are discounting the significance of it. And it may very well get revised next month as we go and see, you know, what happened now in a more quote-unquote normal month of retail sales. So it's being seen right now as more of a one-off than it is, oh my gosh, the consumer is falling apart.
Right, but it's one that we watch very closely because consumers, it's what, 70% of the U.S. economy.
Absolutely, and you know it is a driver, and that's one of the things that, you know, it's one of the hard pieces of data that we take a look at. Now, you know, in defense of that, and you know, I may be speaking against what I've been talking about for a while in the survey data. Right. The consumer sentiment numbers have been very good, so the consumer is very positive. But again, like I said, when you look at the labor market and you look at the Johnson Red Book data, both of those have indicated that retail sales should be certainly not as bad as it was, maybe off a little bit, but nowhere near where we saw it.
Okay, Paul, hang on with us. Paul Nolte is here with us today from Kingsview Asset Management. We're going to continue our Friday talk with Paul. We'll talk a little bit more about the trade talks with China and some other stuff as well as the opening bell continues here at 518 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. A couple of stocks of local interest. Navistar International up nearly 1.25% yesterday at $35.50 a share. And Walgreens Boots Alliance actually up about a third at 72.39. So 72.39, up a third for Walgreens Boots Alliance. This is the opening bell on 720 WGN.
Hey, it's your money. We're heading into a long weekend, and if you're flying somewhere, you may find yourself on the tarmac.
There are more aircraft in the air in the system than ever before, and as a result, the system is more full than it's ever been.
Analyst Julian Mark Hill with the website The Points Guy says you're out of luck as far as the time you lost, but not necessarily the money.
Book your ticket with a credit card that provides for reimbursement if you are delayed and miss a connection. Some of the most popular cards are available with that kind of protection. Make sure you take advantage of it if you have it.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
We're back this morning. Paul Nolte is in the house for our Friday edition of the opening bell. Paul is from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. Paul, we are waiting to see what kind of progress, if any, is coming from the meetings in China. We know the team met with the Chinese president. So that's at least hopeful, right?
It is. And, you know, it's one of those things, fortunately, unfortunately, however you want to really take a look at it, but we're watching all the sausage getting made. We're getting updates by the hour. We're close. We're miles apart. Things are going very well. We've got some sticking points.
There's a good vibe.
Lately it's a good vibe. And I think what we're going to find is that this is going to get punted a little bit down the road. So that deadline that shows up in 2 weeks where we're going to impose additional sanctions if we can't get a trade deal done, I think are going to get punted down the road a little bit as long as the trade talks continue and that good vibe continues for the next couple of weeks.
The markets are eager to have this solved, aren't they?
They are, you know, because we're hearing it a lot in the earnings numbers that have been out over the last couple of weeks from a lot of companies that the impact on trade, there's higher prices. We're hearing from different companies like Clorox, like Kimberly-Clark, that are actually raising prices here. And attributing some of that to their higher costs in trade because of the tariffs. And a deal would remove that issue, then companies will know what the landscape is and should be for them to operate going forward. Right now, it's just kind of a mess, and they're struggling to try to figure out how best to operate within that realm.
We saw this week some numbers on inflation. It looks like inflation is in check. Is that a good way to describe it?
I think so. You know, when you take a look at it, obviously energy helped out a little bit this last month. If you take a look at ex-energy and food, which tend to be a little bit more volatile, those numbers have come down a little bit. So inflation, and again, going back to some of the comments from the Fed, I think the Fed will be on hold at least until mid-year. There's really right now, according to the markets, zero chance that the Fed will raise rates this year. And actually, there's a little bit of a chance that they might cut rates this year. And so investors haven't really stepped back to ask the question why the Fed has stepped away from raising rates and maybe slowing down their balance sheet runoff. And it may be some of the weaker economic data that we're seeing. We're certainly seeing it around the globe. Europe, we're seeing some weaker data, some in the Far East as well. So the global economy is slowing, and it's going to be hard for us to stay above that. But right now, we still look like the best house in kind of a rough neighborhood.
So here at the end of the week, as we wrap up, what do you like in terms of stocks in our portfolios?
Yeah, we've had a great run off of the Christmas Eve low. The stock market is up double digits from that level. And I think we'll probably churn around here a little bit as the investors digest the trade news. We're not going to have earnings now for a little while and maybe some economic data that might be a little bit softer. So I would expect the markets to kind of go sideways here for a little bit, but certainly nothing that should shake you out of your allocation. But if you've moved If you really haven't done anything with the portfolio and kind of rode through the third quarter decline and you're going, all right, well, maybe we want to take a little bit of money off the table because we got this snapback, it might not be a bad idea to take a little bit of the profit that we've seen over the last little bit here and move it to bonds or a little bit of cash and just kind of see how things work out here. There's really nothing on the horizon that really pound the table, say, yep, we got to be all in right now. So it might be a good time to take a little bit of time.
All right, Paul. And we didn't even get a chance to talk about your trip to Florida this week to the ETF conference. Did you learn anything new down there?
You know, it was very good. I'm a little bit nervous, though, because I've been pounding the table for emerging markets, as have most of the other strategists mm-hmm. that we were listening to. And in general, they're reasonably positive on the equity markets through the rest of this year. So it was a good conference from that perspective. A ton of new, you know, ETF product that's going to be out and trading soon. So it's a good conference and not a bad way to run away from Chicago for a couple of days.
All right. How do people get a hold of you to have a conversation with you if they want?
And they want to continue the conversation, they can drop me an email at pnolte@kingsviewam.com.
All right, Paul. We'll see you again next Friday.
Absolutely.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago, our regular Friday guest here on The Opening Bell.
Hi, this is Catherine Davis from Chicago Inno with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know. United Airlines said it may pull its fares from several Expedia-owned sites amid an ongoing contract dispute. Expedia has sued the Chicago-based airline, alleging United was using its weight as one of the biggest U.S. airlines to renegotiate its agreement. Chicago logistics tech company Forkites has raised $50 million in a Series C round, led by existing investors August Capital and Bain Capital Ventures. The new financing brings Forkites' total venture capital to $100 million. And Amazon has opened a new Amazon Go store at the Illinois Center, its fourth such store in Chicago and 10th overall. Located just off the Mag Mile at 111 East Wacker Drive, the newest Amazon Go store features ready-to-eat breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack items, along with grocery essentials, Amazon meal kits, and other convenience items. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at ChicagoInno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. This week, Southwest Airlines did a test flight to Hawaii. Southwest getting ready to launch a full service to Hawaii, mainly from the West Coast and I think Houston. But just the test alone has spurred other airlines to start cutting some fares. We want to talk about that this morning with Brian Summers, who's the senior aviation business editor for skiff.com. And Brian is joining us via Skype from Los Angeles this morning. So, Brian, let's begin there. Just as soon as this test flight was done, some of these other airlines started discounting their fares to Hawaii. So is it going to be cheaper to go from here to Hawaii from here on out?
Well, you're right, Steve. Southwest is on the cusp of selling tickets to Hawaii. They would have liked to have already done it. They haven't been able to because they still don't have federal government permission to fly these long distances over the water, as what we in the industry called ETOPS. Southwest has been around for decades now. They're going to get this permission. They've actually been doing proving flights with no passengers over the Pacific. And the day that they get it, they're going to start selling flights. And look, we've talked about this before. If you have more capacity in any market, whether it's Hawaii or Chicago to New York, prices are going to fall. There's actually already a lot of capacity in the Hawaii market, and prices have fallen. A lot of it has been from the West Coast, and Southwest is mainly going to fly from the West Coast to Hawaii. But I was also checking this morning, and it looks to be cheaper than ever to fly, say, from Chicago to Hawaii, especially Honolulu, this spring. So, you know, years ago, I would have expected to pay $1,000 or more for this flight. Now you can do it for under $600 if you're crafty, and you can do it for about $770 if you want to fly nonstop on United. What's becoming clear, Steve, is that Hawaii is probably not a once-in-a-lifetime vacation anymore, and that makes sense, right? Because airplanes are more efficient, there are more of them, people fly more often. So, you know, decades ago, you might go for your honeymoon and never again. Now, a lot of people go once a year, and a lot of airlines have added flights, and as we say, that can lead to cheaper fares.
Are we still a little bit of ways away from Southwest actually doing these flights for real, though?
It's so hard to tell, Steve. They haven't tipped their hand. The only thing that they've said is as soon as they get government permission, they are going to start selling flights, and they're going to fly them pretty quickly. I hate to predict on the radio when this is going to happen, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's a matter of weeks. And to guard myself a little bit more, I'll say a matter of months. But I can pretty much guarantee you that they're going to fly to Hawaii this year.
Another story about Southwest that I think is kind of cool, and we've kind of mentioned this, talked in passing about this. Southwest is still lagging behind some of the other airlines in these special credit cards, right, where they're sort of these loyalty credit cards. Are they about to change that?
Yeah, Southwest is doing its best to make more money in credit card revenue. I don't think people realize this very much. Credit cards are a huge money maker for airlines. A couple of airlines are making, you know, more than $2 billion a year from credit cards. Southwest has lagged in that. One of the reasons that Southwest has lagged is because these travel credit cards, Steve, they tend to be aspirational. So when you decide to apply for one, you don't do it because you want a free Southwest flight from Chicago to Omaha once or twice a year. You're dreaming, and you're dreaming about flying from Chicago to Australia or Tokyo, maybe in business class, of all the things you might be able to do. It doesn't mean when it comes time to redeem that that's actually what's going to happen. But on that day that you're applying, you're probably thinking big. Southwest is a great airline. It's a profitable airline. But it's not an airline historically that has attracted dreamers, right? Because they pretty much only fly within the United States. They've just expanded a little bit to the Caribbean and Mexico, and they're going to go to Hawaii. But that's still pretty minor stuff. So one of the things that Southwest has done in the last few weeks, and I'm sad to say that this promotion just ended on Monday, is they said, we're going to offer you something else that's pretty sweet if you apply for our credit card and you spend $4,000 within 3 months. So Southwest offered what it calls its companion pass to these customers who applied and were approved. Those customers are going to get to, if they pay for their own ticket, they can bring a guest for free for the rest of the year. So it's a buy one, get one free offer. And it's a pretty big deal because it's basically 50% off airfare if you bring somebody for the rest of this year. People love the companion pass. Usually you can only get it if you're one of their most frequent flyers. It's aspirational for a lot of folks. And all you had to do was apply for this credit card by February 11th, spend some money, and the airline would give it to you. So this should help them see a major increase in the number of people that have their credit card this year.
And this is a space that we could keep watching. Perhaps that deal will come back. They partnered with J.P. Morgan Chase on this, haven't they?
That's right. I would imagine that if this is a successful deal for Southwest, it'll come back, maybe not all the time, but perhaps once a year or something like that.
Ryan, another story that's out there is, and this is, you know, being a plane geek, you probably appreciate, Airbus has decided it's going to stop making the A380 double-decker.
Indeed, Steve. You probably don't see a whole lot of these in Chicago, but I'm here in Los Angeles, which is just a huge Airbus A380 hub. So I see more than the average person. But as you say, the problem with this airplane is that passengers loved it. It was really cool. It's the biggest passenger plane ever. It has four engines. It has two decks. The problem is that this airplane was conceived a couple of decades ago, and the market for it, it never really materialized. What happened was airlines started prioritizing efficiency, and they wanted airplanes that were smaller, that they could fly to more places, and importantly, had only two engines and not four. So they burned quite a bit less fuel when they only have four engines. And Airbus finally said this week, look, we can't do this anymore. The Airbus only really has one major customer for this airplane. It's Emirates. A lot of other airlines like Lufthansa and Air France and British Airways and Qantas, they all have some airplanes, but they took somewhere between 10 and 20, and that's just not enough to sustain a program long term. I'm actually kind of impressed with what Airbus did, because this is such an iconic airplane, and Airbus could have been tempted into keeping it going and building a few for a decade or two more just because they didn't want to admit their mistake. But they said, look, we're not selling a lot of these. We have to stop. And it looks like the last one will be built in 2021. So, you know, these things will be flown for another 20 years or so. But it is kind of an end of an era in aviation. It's sad for a lot of people.
Does this have any impact at all on, let's say, Chicago-based Boeing, one of Airbus's competitors?
No, I don't think so. Just because this decision had been expected in many ways. You know, the A380 is the iconic airplane from Airbus, but Airbus hasn't been selling a lot recently. And so because of that, the last 5 to 10 years, Airbus has really been focusing on airplanes that compete directly with the Boeing 787 and the Boeing 777. Those are going to be the airplanes that Airbus focuses on over the next 10 or 20 years. That's the Airbus A350. And the Airbus A330. And so these two companies are already competing on these twin engine jets. And this just gives Airbus sort of renewed focus on the jets of the future, not the jets of the past.
And there's one final story we want to get to here real quickly. The government shutdown is over, obviously, but air traffic controllers are still saying that they have not recovered. Is that a big deal?
You know, there were some air traffic controllers this week that testified before Congress in Washington, D.C. I think part of the reason that they testified and talked about these worst case scenarios is because what they really want to make sure is that there's never another government shutdown. For the most part, Steve, air traffic control has recovered. It's safe to fly. But air traffic controllers really just took the brunt of the last 35-day government shutdown. Of course, they weren't paid. They have a very stressful job. It was a tough time for them, and nobody knew when the system would be back up. So nobody wants to see this again. And yes, air traffic controllers were talking this week to Congress and saying, look, you can't let this happen again. I think that's probably the extent of it.
All right, Brian, thank you. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
Brian Summers is Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow on Twitter at Skift and at Brian Summers and sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report direct to your inbox, skift.com/airline.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward a positive open on Wall Street later this morning. Dow, NASDAQ, and S&P futures all up fractionally higher this morning. Let's get the latest on agriculture and commodities now. Orion Samuelson is with us. Good morning, Orion.
Well, good morning to you, Steve. Deere & Company out with quarterly results this morning, and maybe a little better than people thought because of the farm economy cutting into sales of farm equipment and so on. But Deere & Company quarterly net sales up 16% to $6.9 billion. And Deere & Company's forecast for 2019 calls for net income of approximately $3.6 billion on a sales gain of about 7%. And the company said equipment sales are projected to increase by about 7% for fiscal 2019. So Deere and Company quarterly shares, $1.54. And net sales and revenues projected to increase. So and the trade wars and everything else, maybe slowed some sales, but also wasn't a major catastrophe to a company like Deere.
We are seeing this morning the trade talks wrap up with the latest being a good vibe, according to the Treasury Secretary, about where things are going, but not much in the way of details. Seems like this is a broken record here. We're still talking about it.
You are so right. Every day when we take a look at feelings and sentiment in the market, we talk about the talks. Well, good vibes, going well. but not near a solution. And we're getting close now to March 1st, which is the date that the president said if we don't have a firm agreement with China, they will put another $200 billion worth of imports from China on a 25% tariff. That's an increase from 10%. And so it's, as you said, it's a broken record. Yeah, talks are going well and we're making progress, but we have a long way to go. And then when we take a look at some of the sales to China, because now we're playing catch up on the reports that we didn't get during the government shutdown. And both grains and soybeans were down yesterday. News that China and other buyers had canceled a flurry of U.S. soybean orders in early January, and Argentina's soybean crop could be larger than previously expected, but we didn't get that information on a timely basis, and we're getting it now. And I was a little surprised that the USDA's export sales report showed net cancellations of U.S. soybeans, totaling 611,000 tons in the week ended January 3rd. Hadn't heard that before now, but as we say, they're catching up at USDA on the reports that weren't issued during the government shutdown. And if you want to go to a farm equipment show, you still have one going on through tomorrow night. It's the National Farm Machinery Show in Louisville, the Louisville Show, as they call it. And, of course, they've combined that large equipment show with the championship tractor pulling competition. That'll take place tomorrow night at the wrap-up for the Farm Machinery Show. And then the other thing I want to mention, if I can, last Saturday night we were in Bettendorf, Iowa, with the 10 finalists in the National Outstanding Young Farmer Program, and four of those were selected as the National Young Farmers of 2019. And we're going to be talking to the four of them on the Saturday morning show tomorrow. So,
all right, very good. Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
Orion Samuelson with us this morning. Again, the morning show at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning right here on 720 WGN. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Friday, February 15th. Pepsi among the companies expected to announce quarterly earnings today. Analysts believe Pepsi will announce a rise in profits for the fourth quarter. You heard Orion talking about Deer & Company. They're also on the list today. Other companies announcing earnings include Moody's Corporation, Olympic Steel, and Choice Hotels. On the actual report calendar, slim pickings today, but we will see the Empire State Manufacturing Survey, import and export prices, industrial production, consumer sentiment, and one Fed speaker on monetary policy today, Rafael Bostic, out there. So just a few things that could move the markets on this Friday, February 15th. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on 720 WGN. And I'll continue to follow your money throughout the morning right here and in the Steve Cochran Show, which is coming up next. We'll be back bright and early on Monday morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. Until then, I'm Steve Krasanich. Have a great weekend.